Welcome to Dear Hank and John.
Or as I prefer to think of it, Dear John and Hank.
It's a podcast where two brothers answer your questions, give you dubious advice, and bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon.
Hey, Henry told me a really funny dad joke yesterday that I think he might have invented.
Okay.
He said, there's something wrong with the electricity in our house.
Oh.
And I said, there is? And he said, yeah, something off about the light switch. So,
okay.
There you go.
All right, good.
There you go. High quality
now,
stuff.
Now you're in charge of dad jokes, so passing the mantle over to you and Henry.
He truly is your nephew.
And I'm glad because I didn't have one, John. I had nothing. I had forgotten
Great.
That part of the podcast.
Great. Love it. How are you? I feel like I haven't talked to you in months, although we've talked, but we haven't talked in front of a microphone, which is when I really feel like I'm connecting with you.
I don't know and don't know how to check,
how you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, so in terms of the honest answers, I often feel that way where I'm like, mm-hmm. Is it okay for me to just not look and just like, I don't think that I'm bad. I don't have a
yeah.
reason to look.
Right.
I feel like if I look, then I might find something, but that's probably not what you want to do. I did do a very fun thing in Los Angeles that I can't talk about yet. I know everybody loves that.
I hate it when influencers do that. That's like my least favorite thing where it's like, oh my God, I had so much fun doing something I can't tell you about.
Yeah. And that is exactly the situation that happened.
Yeah. I got back from a 30-mile hike through Red River Gorge in Kentucky with my four closest friends from the neighborhood. We've done these hikes together for many years, but this one was extreme, Hank.
Like, yeah, that's a long
speaking of not looking, there was one moment where my buddy Alex, who's quite the outdoors person, was like, hey, so for the next 5 minutes, you're going to want to pay very careful attention to your footing, and you're not going to want to look to your left. When I did look to my left, just in my peripheral vision, I wasn't trying to. I realized that it was a 400-foot drop. Just so close to me. And that made me feel both terrified and quite proud of myself, because there's no way that 10 years ago I could have done that. No way. Right? Like, in some ways, I get frustrated that my mental health isn't better than it is, and that, like, I have to live with this sort of, like, long-term series of mental health problems that I got to do all this crap to accommodate, and I feel like I'm not as productive as I could be, and I feel like I'm all that stuff. But then I think, like, well, but... This change is real, right? Like, I just scrambled up a rock face that 10 years ago would have completely shut me down for like a day. Like, I would have had to pitch a tent and go into a quiet place for a day. So yeah, it was a really lovely trip. And I was proud of myself for pushing myself, but in a safe and cautious way, you know, like being with people who are really experienced and who have my back and everything. But I was, as the rock climbers say, it was, for me, very exposed.
Just like, I'm not and never will be and have not been ever close to being a rock climber. I've done a couple of scary things like that, like exactly like that. It's so much.
Yeah. And it does. It's so much.
It does sort of, you have to take some time to think afterward, at least with my disposition. But I think that the thing that you were talking about there is so important, is like, to be progressing and to note progress. And like, there's lots of different ways to be progressing. That can be, you know, just like relationship health. It can be, you know, being able to stand on a table without being scared. It can be, you know, getting better at piano, but you don't really get the benefit from it unless you take the time to notice that you are getting better at that thing. Mm-hmm. And it can be really difficult to notice.
Right. Absolutely.
Unless it's like something that has a lot of quantitative measures that come along with it, like bench pressing, where you're like, oh, I can do 225 now, which I can't.
Right.
I don't even know what that is, but it's definitely more than I can do.
But I think that's one of the reasons we do mile times or bench press amounts is to have metrics. But there are also other, I think, more important metrics, which is being able to look back over the long term and say like, oh, I couldn't have done that. And then I really did implement tools that I learned through therapy that allowed me to be able to do it. Like, I'm sure that medication played a role in me being able to do that. But also, like, I was able to be like, oh, I know what to do here. Like, I know how to reframe my thoughts. And I'm going to frame this as an opportunity. I know that I'm safe. I know that I'm with my friends. I'm not going to look to the left unnecessarily, but I'm going to get through this. And I did. And I was really pleased about it. And that brings me to our first question, Hank, which is from Allison, who writes, "Dear John and Hank, I'm writing a paper about personal growth and how it is not something that just happens in our adolescent years, like the coming of age stories, but we continue to examine ourselves every day to see how we can grow and change." I think this is so important. So many movies end with like graduation from high school or getting married or having a baby, as if that is somehow the end of like personal growth and maturation. Like, you did it. You made it to parenthood. Oh, buddy, you're just getting started. While writing this, I couldn't stop thinking about your idea of imagining others complexly, so I watched a few of your old videos to get ideas for the paper. Now I'm wondering, what kind of personal growth have you seen in your life, and how has being internet celebrities caused personal growth in the last 15 years? Pumpkins and personal growth, Allison. I don't know that being an internet celebrity has caused any growth.
Well, I mean, for me.
I'm better at it than I used to be.
Yeah, I'm definitely better at it than I used to. And I still am not. I still make lots of mistakes.
I was going to say, but I could be a lot better than I am.
I think that there is something to it for me, which is that it having an audience gives me a reason to do things, and doing things gets me better at them. And so it's more the impetus than the than the thing itself.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So like there's like, you know, maybe I've gotten better at have being like a public figure or having an audience or whatever. But most of it is like having an audience means that I've worked, like I've honed particular skills. And there are times when I'm like, wow, I did that well and fast. And that's because I've done it a lot of times, and I know stuff about making content for audiences.
Right. I mean, certainly we've both come a long way in our ability to make a YouTube video, right?
Exactly. Like, yeah, that's the main thing I've gotten good at. Yeah.
But when I look at the last 15 years, I see a huge amount of change in my life, a huge amount of change in my, you know, it's kind of my overall ability to cope with negative emotions. I see a huge shift in my ability to handle obsessive thought. Like, I still lose more time than I'd like to obsessive worry, but I don't lose 8 hours a day to it. You know, it's not half my waking life. And I also see a lot of change in like the way that I treat other people, to be honest with you. I think I still, even when I was like 30, I think I still thought of myself as some kind of like somewhat like countercultural, funny, sort of shoot from the hip kind of character. And I really don't anymore. I feel like over the last 15 years, one of the growth arcs that I didn't expect, aside from like not being as afraid of heights, which is a hell of a change, is I didn't expect to become so earnest and so comfortable in my earnestness. Like, our early videos were not earnest ever. And I feel quite comfortable now being sincere, even though, of course, that is vastly more vulnerable.
Yeah. And I think that comes from a place of security too.
Yeah, for sure. Which is something that you build up over time.
Yeah.
If you work hard on it. and get lucky. But I have a sense of emotional security that I didn't have 15 years ago.
I also have a sense, and I'm trying, I've been trying to cultivate this to some extent, because I think that it does not happen if you don't try, but of a appreciation for my existence inside of a thing that exists and is good, and that is humanity. And
right,
like, and to cultivate an appreciation for humanity, even as it has.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Made a number of sort of inexcusable mistakes.
Yeah, like the world was much more positive about humanity in 2007, but you and I were both privately extremely negative about it.
Yeah.
And kind of cynical about humanity and thought that humanity was sort of a merely a drain on global resources.
Yeah, or like just like extraordinarily foolish. Like one of the things I've gotten better at is actually recognizing the lack of agency for a lot of... For a lot of the choices I make, and that a lot of things that have happened to me are, it's very easy to sort of attribute that to individual decisions when in fact there were certainly some of those and certainly some hard work, but you know, like in reality, like we all have to exist inside of the systems we exist in. And we have very little overall control, and the mere ways in which we think are controlled by the technologies and the systems that have been developed over, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of years of communication, and like we are influenced by which languages we speak.
Right.
You know, we can't we like you almost can't have a thought that there isn't a word for sometimes, and or it's much more cognitively difficult. So that's all.
Yeah, that whole idea of like seeking the sort of like absolute knowledge that is all you need from within, I still sort of believed in a little bit in 2007. And now I understand that there is no me separate from the rest of the world. There is no me separate from my circumstances.
Yeah.
These are all ways that we've changed over the last 15 years, but you know, we were adults in both those times. Like we were married 15 years ago and we didn't have kids, but like, you know, we were fully definitely grown. And 15 years from now, I'll be 60. And I really hope I look back at my 45-year-old self and I'm like, wow, I've changed a lot since that guy. Like, I hope that I'm not settled. I want to keep changing and growing. And I think we have great actual models for that in our parents. You know, our mom was 62 years old when she started painting for the first time, and now she's a very accomplished painter. In fact, her paintings of ginkgo leaves are available at projectforawesome.com/donate. And she's a brilliant painter. And, you know, our dad 15 years ago, we felt like was very settled in his career. And then little did we know, actually, he was going to be the person who ran the business that became Complexly, because Hank and John had no idea how to do that. So
and he also did not know that that was what was going, what was headed his way.
No, there was no YouTube for him to know that. Or I guess there was like a start of YouTube, but there was no idea of like this YouTube with like this Hank YouTube. Being so stressed out, he tells you that he can't stop to think about how he's feeling.
That's not really what I mean. I just,
I'm not 100% sold.
Yeah, we'll get there. I'm on a journey of meaning. This next question comes from Malcolm, who asks, "Dear Hank and John, the heart is a muscle, so I've been told. So I suppose you can, quote, work it out by doing exercise and making it pump harder and faster.
Yeah.
Does that mean that I can develop a chiseled thirst trap of a heart? And if so, why do I never feel sore in my heart after exercise like I do in the other muscles, slightly to the left of the middle? Malcolm." Malcolm.
Hey, before we get to the answer to this question, I just want to tell you, you know that scene in Good Will Hunting where Ben Affleck shows up to what's that guy's name? Matt Damon's apartment. I was going to call him the Martian, but that's not his name. Ben Affleck shows up to the Martian's apartment. He like looks in the apartment and there's no Martian in there. And he's like, oh, he left. And he's really happy. He's really proud of his friend. I just want you to know that one Monday, when I call you at 2 p.m. and you don't answer because you've gone on a, like a 6-month silent retreat as part of your journey of meaning, I'm going to be so proud of you.
Okay.
You'll be like,
I thought it had something to do with the heart muscle. It really
doesn't. I'll get a postcard like 3 months in that's like greetings from, I don't know.
Earth.
Oh yeah, that's what it would be. Greetings from the crust of Earth, my beloved brother.
Greetings from the small slice of Earth that contains all life that we know of in the universe.
Greetings
from this fragile bubble.
For 90 days, I have not taxed my vocal cords, that I have seen into the great beyond, and I know what lies on the other side of the void. Hope the kids are good, Hank.
I figured it all out. And my heart muscle's chiseled. It's a buff little thirst trap in there. The reason I wanted to
When you're on a silent retreat, you could just be doing pull-ups all day.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? The reason I wanted to answer this question is because it's a great example of how messed up humans are.
Right, right. Like, it's like, oh man, I just want to have a sexy heart. If I just had like a sexy heart, it doesn't actually matter if it's functional, but man, if it looks good, if it's ripped, people are going to finally love me.
Right. It's like we've made muscled or bigger, like bigger muscles synonymous with hotness. And to such an extent that we feel that way about a wet, slimy internal pump.
Yeah. Let's get that.
I think that your heart would not be any sexier if it would get bigger as it pumps harder and faster. And it does. The heart muscle does get bigger as it pumps harder and faster. And I can't really tell you why it doesn't feel sore while it's doing it, but I can tell you that it gets tired and you notice. You just notice it in different ways than when you're using your bicep or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can notice it in the sense that you sort of reach your aerobic maximum, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the heart's just like going as hard as it can.
It pumps blood as hard as it can.
Like you don't have enough
for
oxygen.
As long as it can. And then it feels like you can't stay in that red zone anymore. And that's when, like in the Tour de France, you see the cyclist going up the hill, just like stop and like almost slide backwards.
Yeah, they just got to lie down for a second. Is the red zone a real thing? Because I don't think I've ever been there.
I mean, it's a thing that people talk about in fitness circles. Yeah, like it's like if you, there's like the, you ever heard of orange theory? It's like
it's a gym.
Yeah, and the idea there is that like you spend a little bit of time in the red zone, a little bit of time in the green zone, but you spend most of your time in the orange zone. That's like where you're pushing it, but it's not impossible.
It means something?
Oh yeah, you like wear a heart monitor and everything, and then like your heart.
You try to get to the orange zone, and that's the theory.
Your heart rate is up there on the board with all the other people's heart rates, so they know if you're taking it easy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I figured it was all branding. I'd like to say that I thought it had something to do with oranges, but I didn't. I just thought it was just branding.
Since we're talking about fitness, I got to tell you something. You know, sometimes we have an idea and we talk it through and we're like, that's not a good idea. But then it doesn't go away.
Every week. I've been texting John ideas. He's just not even responding to me anymore.
Some of them are just, they're bad. Like they're, first off, we don't need another idea right now. We need one less idea. We need to remove the number of ideas down from 72 to like 68. Secondly, if we do have a new idea, I want it to be way outside the box.
Yeah, totally. Me too. I've been sending you some real weirdos.
So we had an idea a few months ago. We talked it through. We really thought about it. And then we were like, this is a bad idea. And we put it away. Okay?
Yeah.
And I've been thinking it's maybe not as bad. Maybe it's a good idea.
Which one is it?
It's called It's called 16 Weeks to Glory.
Okay. I'm somewhat skeptical.
So the idea is that for 16 weeks, you and I train.
Oh my God.
And we record ourselves training. And then at the end of the 16th week, we meet in a boxing ring. For a
no,
YouTube
this,
boxing
this, you've
contest.
Had this idea for a long time.
I know
time.
I had this
I'm
idea,
not.
And then I let it go, and then now I'm coming back. I still think it's good. I think it could raise so much money.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like,
and
look.
I think we would get ripped. I think our heart muscles would be so sexy and ripped. Not look. Like literally ripped. That would obviously be a catastrophic issue. I mean,
yeah, that
like,
might be the end.
Just
for
beautifully,
sure.
perfectly formed. Mm-hmm. Muscles.
So I, John, as I am entering into my 40s,
shirts off,
by which I mean nearly 43.
Suns out, boxing, boxing in a ring, hundreds of people watching, thousands more watching via simulcast.
Right. So I think that, like, I love to dissect ideas. And I think that, so there's good parts about this idea. One,
thank you.
It really does give me the impulse that I need to take better care of my body, which I desperately do need to do.
16 weeks, you're going to be like, well, I mean, I got no choice here because my brother's going to punch me in the face.
Right. So that's good. Now, I think that there are better ways to train than 16 weeks of, you know, whatever. Like, I think that's not long enough. Like, I need 52 weeks.
You could say that if you want, Hank.
I need hundreds of weeks. I need to be taking care of myself for the rest of my life, right?
Yeah, of course. But this is 16 weeks to jumpstart that journey.
So right? I like it for that. I like it for that reason.
Thank you.
As long as it's done in a healthy way. I like it for the reason that I think lots of people would absolutely sign up to watch it, and they would pay money, and that would be a lot of money for Partners in Health.
I agree.
I like it for that reason. I have two drawbacks. One,
I cannot get
punched in the face by you. I could punch you in the face, but I just don't think I have it in me to get punched in the face by you.
What do you mean?
And I don't know. I don't know. John's like, you're not going to have a choice. Like, it's not like you're going to choose to get punched in the face. It's just going to happen.
I'm very confused. I feel, because I almost feel the opposite. Like, I almost feel like I could get hit by you, mm-hmm. but I don't think I could punch you. And you feel like you could hit me, but you couldn't get hit by
this
me.
Sounds great. Actually, I'm in. Sounds like I'm going to kick your You don't think you can hit me? Now I'm in.
I just, like, emotionally, I think it would be difficult for me to, like, really, like, intentionally land a crushing left hook.
I'd have to do a lot of, we'd both have to, like, do a lot of boxing practice so that it just becomes instinctual to punch people.
I got to find whoever won the Indiana Golden Gloves and hire them for 16 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure that the Montana Golden Gloves will also have some guy. But I also don't like participating in the parts of YouTube that I don't feel like are our parts of YouTube anymore.
I find it so funny. Like, it would, I agree. Like, if it were 5 years ago and we did that, it would be all wrong, right? Because like, we were still adjacent enough to those parts of YouTube for it to be an issue. But if we did it now, like, we're mid-40s. Like, I met iDubbbz once for 2.5 seconds outside of VidCon, you know? Like, I'm not and I think if you probably asked iDubbbz, like, who are your best friends, it would take him a while before he got to me.
I don't know that you'd be on the list.
Well, I just mean, like, if you put him on a desert island and gave him, like, 100 years to name everybody he's ever met, he might get to me. But it wouldn't be – I'll tell you what. It wouldn't be like before he discovered an ongoing source of food that would allow him to have a sort of long-term survival. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love this. Okay, cancel 16 Weeks to Glory. I've got a new idea.
Okay.
We put iDubbbz on a desert island.
Okay.
We film it from a bunch of angles, and we wait. We ask him to list the names of his closest friends in order, and when he gets to the name that is the name that we're looking for, the whole thing ends and he gets to go home.
I love the, oh man. So all of this is interfacing with my actual idea that I didn't tell you, which is the one you actually haven't responded to.
What is that idea? Tell
that
me.
That idea is, wouldn't it be cool if we could make higher production value stuff? If we could make like cooler, weirder, not necessarily educational, but like nerdy stuff. And we're like, and had the budget to do that because it was on a streaming platform that we owned and operated.
No.
And it's called
Wait for it.
And we do it with a few other YouTubers. And like, it's sort of like we go in and it's going to be like more classic YouTubers doing stuff that's really fun. And we call it the Doobly Doo.
Well, okay. Let me tell you what I love about it.
Okay.
One, you stole the name from Wheezy Waiter, which I love. I also think Wheezy Waiter would be a great candidate for my Desert Island show.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the name that like Wheezy Waiter would have to come up with would be like, you remember that guy from like 2006 YouTube who kind of got to be a big deal by putting Diet Coke and Mentos together? His name was like Renato.
Renato. Yeah.
That would be the name that Wheezy Waiter would have to come up with on the desert island to get off the desert island.
I think he'd come out with it pretty quick. But I think that, I like this idea. You have to have four categories and you don't know when you've succeeded in any of them. So you just have to make the longest list you can.
Right. Yeah. Or it could be something like, hey, name some soda brands. And when you get it, you're good.
Right. Right. It just happens.
And it's Ale 8, that ginger ale they sell in Kentucky.
Oh, no. It has to be something people know about.
It's IBC root beer.
Oh, boy. Oh, terrifying. So, yes, shows like that, but maybe not that. And
Well, Hank, I don't like the idea of a streaming service. I think the last thing the world needs is a new streaming service. Like when I look at the streaming service landscape, what I don't think is, oh God, I just wish there was a way for me to spend $5 more a month. That's my concern.
So I think,
but
generally,
you feel like it's niches.
I think it's
like,
going to
there's
niche
Nebula,
out.
There's college humor, there's all these things.
Yeah. I think it's going to niche out. And I think the most successful ones are going to be the niche ones because they're going to create content exactly for their audience. And they're not going to spend, you know, $20 billion on TV shows. It's going to do the exact same thing that YouTube did to television. We're going to niche out streaming services. It seems obvious to me. It's like
it does
written
not
on the
seem
wall.
Obvious to me, but it is possible. I will acknowledge that this is not a bad idea. My question is, where does your capacity?
Right. The problem is that it is definitely not a
It doesn't feel
here's
like
a bunch
less
of shows
work.
That aren't going to have Hank in them.
It feels like more work, not less work to me.
Yeah.
But I will take on all of the work and become the CEO of Doobly Doo Incorporated. If our first two shows can be 16 Weeks to Glory and Desert Island until you say the word we're thinking of.
Until you say Corey, Mr. Safety.
Or like, oh, what if it's just like a word? what if the only prompt you're given is adjective? You're just like blue, tall, far,
windy,
happy.
This is like the worst Mr. Beast video. You just like have to sit around, walk around the island and say words.
And it's live streamed, man. So like it's like Big Brother, except that the person's alone and they're just muttering adjectives to themselves. So there's no sense of competition. There's no sense of like, oh, they're getting closer, they're getting further away. The more I talk about this, the more I freaking love it. It's only the sort of like lovely weirdness. And by the way, it's always the same island, Hank. So you don't have to like reset the cameras. You just put a new person on the island. And okay, all right.
You have to do like five people and you cut them all together so that there's some variety.
I don't think so. Because I think it's live streamed, right? I think it's like Twitch streamed. It's on all the time. There's a bathroom that you can go into, obviously, whatever. But like it's live streamed in general. But here's the kicker. The person has 7 days to find the word.
Okay.
And if they don't find the word in 7 days, they had a nice 7-day vacation and they get nothing else. And if they do find the word within 7 days, they get to go home early and they receive as a prize.
Yeah, I think you pay them. I think that's mostly the thing.
You think it's money?
Well, I think you've got to pay people for their time.
Well, of course, Hank, but I'm saying, like, what's the difference between winning and not winning? Like,
right.
Maybe it's a golden play button.
Well, I think the main thing is that you get to leave the island if you get the word.
This is the greatest idea. I mean, this is the greatest idea I've ever had. And unfortunately, the only place to do it is on the hit new streaming service Doobly-Doo.
This is what I'm hearing is that if I say to John Green, what shows would you make if we had the ability to make shows that weren't constrained by the ridiculous circumstance of the ad-supported internet? What Crabulous. Ideas would you have? And you'd have tons.
I'd make Crabulous. It's a show about crabs.
Yeah.
But it's a show about all kinds of crabs. So there would be one episode devoted to people who walk like crabs to improve their core strength. And what a weird hobby that is.
See?
And then there would be another episode about hermit crabs. And then there would be a third episode about ghost crabs and whether... Mm-hmm. When ghost crabs die, they become ghost crabs. And at what point in the sort of like, you know, endless, infinite cycle of ghostedness does one cease to be? That's a good topic. And then, so I'd make Crabulous. I'd make 16 Weeks to Glory, starting out with me and Hank. But then after that, that can just go into season two. We can do it with... any number of people. Rhett and Link might be available. Mm-hmm. We could do it with all three Gregory brothers plus Sarah Gregory, a sort of tag team duo. We could do a chess boxing version with the Botez sisters. There's a lot of opportunities there. So I'd do 16 Weeks to Glory, Crabulous, and then I would definitely do Desert Island Vocab.
Yep. All right. I've also got ideas, and mine are better than yours because I've been thinking about them for longer.
Shut the front door. How could they be better than those?
Even better than those.
Impossible. Okay, pitch them to me right now. The rest of the episode is over. We are no longer answering questions. We are only discussing from here on out Doobly-Doo, the new hit streaming service featuring Crabulous, 16 Weeks to Glory. And by the way, you have to do 16 Weeks to Glory. I do not accept you not doing 16 Weeks to Glory. I will not sign on to this if it doesn't involve me becoming a boxer with a chiseled physique.
Nothing's going to be chiseled. You're not going to get rid of any, not in a healthy way. You will not get rid of the necessary percentage of body fat to have abs in 16 weeks. Just telling you the
abs.
Truth.
Abs? So anything about abs? Hank, I'm 45 years old. The ab ship has sailed. Okay? Abs.
Okay.
When I think of a chiseled physique, I'm not Brad Pitt. I actually remember the day, Hank. I went down to the beach in Mobile, Alabama, and I watched as the ab rowboat slowly rowed its way out to sea, out over the horizon, until I knew that it was just no more. Of course, the ab ship has sailed.
Okay.
I'm saying that I can still have a chiseled physique as long as I have a shirt on.
I'm not sure what a chiseled physique is, but I don't care. I think that your head's in the right place.
I just threw three punches. I just threw a quick combination. It's just jab, jab, right.
I'm terrified. I'm so scared. There is the other part where there is fear. I don't know. Like, I don't want to get hurt. You're not allowed to get too strong.
Hank, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
The chances of you getting hurt by me punching you are so much lower than the chances of me getting hurt by me punching you. You know what I mean? Like, I'll tear a rotator cuff or something. I don't have any power. Like, I box my, like Henry's a boxer and I will box him. And he'll hit me 7 times and I don't even know what happened. I don't even know where he is. It's, you know, like I'm just about to throw the punch when he lands the 7th punch.
Yeah. Well, luckily we'll both be pretty old. The idea I recently had is, so you know Family Feud.
I love Family Feud.
I think Family Feud is great, but could be 10 times weirder.
Okay,
and that's
I love it.
The idea.
What is it?
It's Family Feud, but 10 times weirder. So,
are there still families, or are is it all?
I don't think that we need celebrities. We don't need families. We're just going to use people we know who are funny, and then
We got the Paul brothers on one side and FaZe Clan on the other.
You know exactly who it is. You know all the people. It's going to be Flula, and it's going to be Grace, and it's going to be Tyler.
Akilah. Yeah, I can picture it.
Yeah. So, and then it's just like, and we pull the audience with weird questions, and then the ones that rise to the top, and it's like, where's the weirdest place you've ever pooped? Or how do you pronounce this word, and you just like show a collection of letters. It's just like you get like it like completely remove the box that Family Feud had been contained by, and right. You let it be as weird as possible.
I mean, do you think that's going to be a copyright issue?
Oh, certainly not. You wouldn't use the words Family Feud.
Right.
Just but like, you know, Cards Against Humanity concept. Is just apples to apples, you know?
Right. But it's not going to be like we asked 100 people.
No, because we're not going to ask 100 people. We're going to put a poll up on the Twitter.
On the website. Right. I love it. Great. Yeah. Yeah. That doobly doo, what are we going to call them? Doobly doers can answer.
Exactly. Yes, correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
The doobly dudes and doobly dudettes.
And doobly doo others.
Exactly.
I don't hate the idea. I just hate the amount of work. Here's what I'll say, Hank. If you called me and you were like, I have somebody, Netflix has called us and they're really tired of having 2 billion customers. It's really stressful for them.
Yeah.
They want to start a startup. And all we do is show up and work out to become boxers and narrate crab documentaries that have a mockumentary element and participate in Weird Family Feud, I would be like, I'll come do that for a few weeks. But I feel like that's not what's going to happen, man.
I feel like what's going to happen
is there's going to be a bunch of work. So can't we just have the kind of shared fantasy that it did happen and think about how great it would be if it happened and then like just go to dropout.tv, subscribe there and enjoy like
other people working hard to make things.
Exactly.
That we don't have to work hard to make.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, it's amazing being your brother. What a gift. But it is also like vicariously exhausting. Like the fact that you would be in your current situation where you are unbelievably overworked and your way out of it would be to work more. It's just fascinating to me. I just come from a different world.
I don't know how else to do it.
My way out of working more is working less.
It doesn't seem like it would work.
It works great.
I don't believe you.
I don't know, man.
Doesn't seem right.
I had a really good writing year last year. And part of the reason I had a really good writing year last year was because I had time to write. Although I don't know how good of a writing year. Hey, Hank, it's time for the all-important news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon.
Oh, is it really? Wow.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Sorry,
I apologize. We're going to keep these questions for next week.
Yeah. We just got, you know, sometimes the moment is there and you need to take the moment. And the moment was there and we took the moment. And we hope that you enjoyed the ride with us. And also, we would really love to hear your feedback on all these ideas. What do you like? What don't you like? I think what they're actually going
to
say.
I'm very nervous spilling idea beans on Dear Hank and John.
Why?
I don't know why. I'm just telling you a fact about my body.
Oh, no. These are trustworthy people.
Okay.
I know that they're trustworthy people because, like, every 3 months I, like, go on YouTube Live and read, like, the first three chapters of a new book, and they're all like, yeah, we won't tell anybody. And they don't. It's great.
Good. This episode of Dear Hank and John is brought to you by Blue Land. The inside of your toilet is gross, and that's why you shouldn't let anyone in your household drink out of it, including your dogs, please. They let them close the thing, let them drink out of the bowl.
The toilet is where the poop goes. There is an easy way to clean your toilet, though. Blue Land's sustainable toilet cleaner tablet. Just drop it in, watch it fizz, brush it up, and then flush. It's super easy, and the great thing about Blue Land is they are figuring out how to do all this stuff without any plastic at all. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and for the planet, and with the same powerful clean that you're used to. It uses no single-use plastics in any component, from bottles, tablets, to wrappers, and even to shipping. The tablet packaging, by the way, is fully compostable. Blue Land products are effective and affordable. The toilet tablets are proven to work on a range of toilet stains, including rust, mineral deposits, limescale, and hard water. And look, when it comes to me, I don't really care that much about bacteria in the toilet, because again, that's where the poop goes. That's where it's supposed to be, dirty in there. But it is nice to have something to help you with those mineral deposits, which we have in abundance in Montana. You can get even more savings by buying refills in bulk or setting up a subscription. Their subscriptions are customizable and convenient, so you never run out of your most used products. We have been a Blue Land household for like 3 years now. It's super convenient, super good. Like it a lot. The products look nice. They're easy to use. And again, they do not require single-use plastics or shipping a bunch of water around, because it's like the stuff that's going to be in the water, you can just dissolve it in water yourself instead of having the companies ship water from place to place. Why are we doing this? Never do I think to myself, oh, this is less effective than other cleaning products. It's just not. It's effective, it's easy, and it's affordable. Blue Land has a special offer right now for our listeners. You can get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dearhank. You don't want to miss out, everybody. blueland.com/dearhank for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dearhank to get 15% off.
Now, we all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there shouldn't be any compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on all the latest headlines or their family group chat or their crossword puzzles just because they're available right now, or take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Go to ZocDoc.com/DearHank and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/DearHank. ZocDoc.com/DearHank.
All right, Hank, there's so much news from AFC Wimbledon that I'm glad we get to have a little bit of time with it.
Okay.
Because it's been a while. So AFC Wimbledon are in 13th place, which is about right. Top of the bottom of the table. We're in first place among all the teams in the second half of the table. Mm-hmm. We've had some ups. We've had some downs. The one thing we haven't really had in, and then we've had a couple pieces of really bad news. Our much vaunted 6'8" striker Kyle Hudlin has returned to his loan club. Even more worryingly, our really good midfielder Paris Magoma returned to Brentford, where he was on loan, and Riley Towler, who'd been sort of our mainstay in central defense, returned to his loan club. So now it's the January transfer window, Hank. That means that things are moving, things can happen. And so far, most of the things happening have involved people leaving Wimbledon, which is not ideal. And what we'd like to do is have some people coming in as well.
That's okay. Do you have solutions to that problem?
Here's the thing. Okay. AFC Wimbledon have one star. I think it's safe to say. I mean, we have a lot of good players, but we have one star, and his name is Ayuba Sal, and he is a star. He is incredible.
Yeah.
He is really a really, really special player. And what I will say about Ayuba Sal is that he hasn't played all of January because he's been, and this is in quotation marks, ill. And I don't think he's super happy with how things are going, just judging from the fact that a couple days ago he made his Twitter profile picture black and also made his background image black. I don't think he's I think he might want to move on from AFC Wimbledon, the club he's played for since he's 11, but he has a contract, and I think there might be some friction there. That maybe that is difficult. And I certainly want a Ubasol to have the long, happy career that he is no doubt going to have in the higher echelons of English football. I just would like him to wait until May, until the end of the season. So I don't know how that's going to resolve. It's high drama in the world of Wimbledon. Lots of, you know, like, people think that sports is just about watching the balls move and everything, but actually sports is mostly about the soap opera, you know, like this, like everything. Sports is just a different version of Days of Our Lives or a different version of TikTok drama. Like, once you're all the way in.
Yeah, I definitely didn't know that. That's new information for me.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, it's like, you know, like, there's some TikTok drama that you're involved in. Sports is just another form of that, where you're like, there's also, there's always stuff. So we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes with Assal, but it doesn't look good.
That doesn't sound good at all. Sounds
so
bad.
We might lose him in January, which is really sad. We do have some new players that we've gotten since the January thing started. Our biggest signing, I think, is Ali Al-Hamadi, who is an Iraqi-British player. Who's come in and he looks the part. I saw him play and it looked pretty good. So I was happy. Yeah.
Looked like a sports player.
He looked like a sports player. We tied that game 0-0, which certainly isn't the worst outcome for us. But yeah, we have a hard time. We definitely have a hard time scoring goals without a Ubasol. And if we're not going to have him for the second half of the season, I could see that being an issue.
Oh, boy. Well, good luck. That makes me nervous.
Me too.
And you should also be nervous in Mars news, because the Jurong rover might not have woken up from its hibernation after the Martian winter.
Oh, no. So
it's China's first mission to Mars, went into hibernation in May of 2022 to prepare for the Martian winter. It was supposed to emerge, but it does not seem to have. But it's hard to know exactly what's going on, because there hasn't been any comment from the space agency yet. And updates are coming from unnamed sources that have spoken to the South China Morning Post. Also, the sources say that the issues might have to do with sandstorms that maybe weakened the ability of the rover to gain more power from its solar panels. It also seems like ground control has been having difficulty getting data from their orbiter. And again, this is all like secondhand. Amateur radio operators can kind of tell when it's communicating, and it seems like they have ground control has just stopped trying to contact the orbiter. So we don't know, but there has been no comment. But it looks like.
But that would be very bad, right? I mean, that would just be the end of that mission.
For sure. Yes.
Oof.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it had some time to do its stuff, but it seems like it, but you never know. Sometimes it just takes a little extra time. Sometimes you can get some more information to it in some other way. And so work it on that. Fingers crossed for the rover.
I'll keep my fingers crossed, but I'll be honest with you, Hank, from the outside anyway, it looks as likely as a Ubasol finishing the season as a Wimbledon player.
It's a legitimate reason to be concerned.
Yeah. God, that's the other show I'd love to have on Doobly-Doo.
Just the other one? Now that the idea's in his head, he's going to not be thinking about anything else for the next...
I'll be honest with you, Hank. We're gonna end this call, and I'm literally going to go back to writing about tuberculosis. But like, if you want to make a tuberculosis documentary in the style of Bo Burnham's Inside on Doobly-Doo, I would be very interested in that.
Wow!
I would be very interested in that. I've thought a lot about like what's wrong with... the way that we tell stories about illness. And I think part of it is that we have this rigid sense of what they're supposed to look like. So yeah, I want to, if I ever, I mean, I'm only writing for now, but if I ever were to make a video about tuberculosis, I would want to make it very, very different and feel very closer to Inside than it feels to like, you know, typical docs.
Yeah, boy. See? People are going to be excited about this idea that can't happen. Also, I have not told Craig about it, so this will be, if it gets to him, his first introduction to the idea. Well, I mean, certainly he would be involved in some way.
You haven't told anybody about it. Correct. I don't think that's the issue. It's not going to happen, Hank, respectfully, unless somebody is listening and they are an actual billionaire and they say, not only do I have all the money that you need to start Doobly-Doo, I also have all the executive talent you need to start Doobly-Doo. And all you have to do is show up.
Please get in touch with me.
By the way, the only way we will sign that deal, future billionaire sponsor of Doobly-Doo, is if it comes with a really generous AFC Wimbledon sponsorship package.
I don't know. I think there might be some other ways.
Nope. That's the only way to get my attention in this world.
Oh, good for you, John.
Well, Hank, thanks for potting with me in this somewhat unusual format that we've just invented.
Yes,
maybe we'll use it again sometime. But in the meantime, thanks for your questions. We'll try to use the same ones next week.
John, thank you for potting with me. If you want to send us questions, you could do that at hankandjohn@gmail.com. We are now off to record our Patreon-only podcast, This Week in Stuff, where we probably will just talk more about our stupid ideas for stupid shows so that we can think about it without actually having to do it.
This podcast is edited by Joseph Tuna Medish. It's produced by Rosianna Hals Rojas. Our head of community is Brooke Shotwell. The music you're hearing now is by the great Gunnarola. Our editorial assistant is Deboki Chakravarti. And as they say in our hometown,
don't forget to be awesome.